I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Who are you?
I'm no one.
I was raised to do one thing, but I've got nothing to fight for.
Nothing will stand in our way. I will finish what you started.
There are stories about what happened.
It's true. All of it.
Just let it in.
Hello and welcome to Smirch Pod Royale, a podcast celebrating all the Bond and Bond-related films by those who enjoy, hate or just aren't asked about them, hosted by me, John Rame. This week we'll be travelling to a galaxy far, far away to look for a lost map, a lost droid, and to try and understand ultimately why we actually bothered. Yes, it's Star Wars The Force Awakens, and joining me to anger Reddit is comedy writer and actor Tom Crowley. Hello, Tom.
Hello, I'm firing on all cylinders with hot takes to wreck the MRAs.
We're going to sort it out today.
That's right.
Yeah, no one else has talked about this, so I'm quite excited.
No, absolutely no one has ever discussed any Star Wars project in any medium online.
No. So I'm excited, but also mildly nervous.
Yeah, well, I think the key thing is that we're breaking new ground, and I think we'll earn our place in Wikipedia for this.
Yeah, I think we will. If we force ourselves to do it.
To awake.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm going to force myself awake and talk about The Force Awakens.
So, were you a Star Wars? Are you a Star Wars fan? Were you before you died?
Do you know what? I really, really am. I'm weirdly erratic because. It was when they re-released the original trilogy in cinemas, yes, with the unnecessary CGI additions. That was my first time. Weirdly, my dad had videoed Return of the Jedi with ad breaks, yeah, off of ITV, and yeah, I had a VHS tape of that. So I saw that one first and had all of the big reveals blown for me. Leia is Luke's sister, Darth Vader's their dad. Sorry, spoilers for the listeners. Sorry, I don't want to spoil anything for the young fans.
No.
But
I get a lot of young people listening to this podcast, as you can imagine.
I imagine so, yeah. Yeah, it's your constant references to twerking and Fortnite that do it, but... No, I was absolutely blown away when I saw the first, you know, Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back and then Return of the Jedi in the cinema.
Yeah.
I was young enough when the prequels came out that I was just talking about this yesterday with my fiance, actually, when we were watching Force Awakens.
But
you've got
a fiance. Yeah, we get it, Tom.
I know. Tom's got a fiance sitting in a tree. But I'm very grown up. Yeah. And I was young enough when each successive prequel came out that when I saw it, I would hugely enjoy it in the cinema and come out going, yeah, that was good. But by the time each successive next one came out, I would have sort of realised by then that the previous one had been terrible.
Yeah.
So, so that was my relationship with Star Wars. And I remember when this one came out, there was a sort of... I think by then the Marvel Universe had all sort of kicked off.
Mm.
And the norm had been established that if a tentpole movie comes out in a successful franchise like that...
Mm.
And you know, this has already been brought up into the Disney Marvel media panopticon. It will it seemed to be that it will at least be all right.
Yeah.
Like the sort of which in, I'd like to talk about this more, but I think there's a kind of a. It's a bit of a shame that really shonky franchise management has gone out the window.
Yeah.
In for the most part with sort of Hollywood licenses, because you know as has been talked about a lot in various places, all the expanded universe novels and games are suddenly non-canon. All these slightly kind of you know, varying quality spin-offs don't exist, replaced instead by an undeniably sort of good-looking and competent official follow-up. Mm-hmm. And I think so nothing sums it up better than Force Awakens, really, I think, in that way.
Yeah. Spot on. But I would argue that shonky franchise management has occurred with this trilogy.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Yeah. Now, I'm going to put my flag in the ground now and say that, well, I haven't seen it since release, but I really loved The Last Jedi when I saw it in the cinema.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen The Mandalorian, and I didn't watch Rise of Skywalker because the big things about it that were contentious were spoiled for me about 15 minutes after it came out on the internet, and I went, that's rubbish, and as such, I've never seen it.
Yeah, and you were very wise to, because it is absolute dog shit.
Oh, dear.
To the point where it came on Disney Plus recently, and I just thought, I have no desire to ever watch that again.
Well, I must thank you, actually, because it was a mixed experience watching Force Awakens again, but I really enjoyed watching it again. And I hadn't gone back to watch it since I saw it in the cinema. This is a nice bit of history for me, actually. I saw it on Boxing Day with my mum and dad in the cinema. You know, I was 28 years old. No, I was a grown man, I was at theirs for Christmas, and as a sort of semi-tradition, not really official one, we went to the cinema, saw The Force Awakens, and my dad's always loved Star Wars. He and I had watched them together when I was a kid. Mum's not really into science fiction at all, but she came out of The Force Awakens, and her review was, "Oh, it was lovely, except for all the fighting."
No, that's not bad.
Yeah. That's a good solid 3-star, I think, from Mum.
Take that, Kermode.
That's right.
You Kermode.
You Kermogen.
Yeah. Do you think this film resonated so well with everybody because, A, it goes along at a fair whack, so you don't really get a chance to get bored, and B, it copies all the same beats from A New Hope. I mean, everybody's always talking about that, but it kind of does, doesn't it?
One thing I was going to bring up was you could do a sort of time and motion study of Star Wars and The Force Awakens and work out if, proportionally to their running time, the same moments happen at every point exactly the same.
Like, it would be really interesting.
13% of the way through the film, someone puts a file inside a droid. Mm. You know, things like that.
Yeah.
But I'd also counter your first point and say, I think this film is about half an hour too long.
Oh, yeah, actually, you're right. The end. I think for the first 45 minutes, it doesn't stop.
No, yeah, exactly. But it does sort of, there's pace to it all the way through. It is entertaining. Mm. But having watched it a second time with a bit more of an analytical cap on, you go, this film cannot justify being over 2 hours long.
No. Anyway, let's get into it. Let's dig in.
Yeah, all right, I'm ready. Right, sleeves are rolled up.
So we start off with Max von Sydow.
Oh, what a way to start.
What a way. Who recently passed away.
Yeah, rest in peace. I said that the second he turned up. I went, oh, rest in peace.
Yeah, Father Merion.
Yes, that's him. Yes.
Yeah.
The classic character, Father Merion.
That's right. It's weird that he's playing Father Merion in this, but I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird cameo, but it does sort of... It's like they're setting their stall out right away and going, this isn't just any old rubbish, mate. Mm. We've got Max von Sydow in this.
Yeah, and also, if you get the companion piece, because, you know, famously with Rise of the Skywalker, they've retconned loads of it through books of the film. Like, oh, that might be a starship to you, but it's actually this, this, and this.
Yes.
If you get the book of the film of The Force Awakens, it says Max von Sydow, Father Merion, and explains how after The Exorcist, where it looks like he's died...
Yes.
He's actually found a spaceship in some woods. And
oh, that's
off.
Good. I'm glad to hear they cleared that up. Like Palpatine coming back. It's no. Father Merion was...
he didn't die.
No, he's fine.
He found a spaceship and he travelled to Jakku.
That's right, where he set up as a sort of intergalactic refugee smuggler Jedi.
Stroke exorcist, if it needed, yes, if they needed exorcist. It. He'd always say, just so you know, I'm also quite good at exorcisms.
They cut that from the screenplay for time, and I think that's a shame. I think just to keep that in, it should have been at least 20 minutes longer.
They also made him a man that's really bad at doing comebacks.
Oh, yeah.
Because right. when Kylo Ren turns up, obviously he gives the map. Oh, I hate that it's a map, but we'll get into that.
We'll get into that.
He gives a map to Poe, who then, you know, he says, oh, great, I can finally find Luke Skywalker or whatever.
Yep.
And then Kylo Ren turns up and he says, you should leave. And then Ren turns up and says to Maximus Sydow, look how old you've become, which is very cutting.
Yes, it's very, very, very harsh. That's quite barbed, I would say.
It is, isn't it? And then Merian comes back with, well, something worse has happened to you.
Yeah, but yeah.
You need to think about that one, Ben.
No, I'm not. He could have said that. Yeah. Would that be good?
Much better.
Yeah. You've got so old. Well, no, I'm not. That'd be good. I'd like that.
Much better.
So I think there should be more room for that sort of comeback in films. This is what I'm talking about with the careful franchise management. They won't allow a comeback like, no, you are.
See, we're fixing this film already.
I know. Hire us, for God's sake, Disney Please. Pixar Star Wars. Hire Please. Us.
I mean, they Plus. Might. They're working their way through everybody. I'd like to be hired because so. I'll guarantee to get fired by about 3 weeks into it. And I'd have quite a lot of money for doing nothing.
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can probably just, like, eat a muffin and make two cups of coffee at Disney Pixar Star Wars Plus and still walk away with about 2-3 million.
I'd make a cup of coffee and then I'd go up to Kathleen Kennedy's office, knock on the door, and she'd open, you know, she'd say, come in, because she's not rude. And I'd in and I'd say, I'm thinking in the next film that Han Solo's balls explode. And then she'll go, you're fired. And I'll be like, thanks very much.
I mean, it'd be worth it to say that to Kathleen Kennedy just once in your life and to get the £2 or 3 million you'd have made saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Then I'd go home.
What's the one pitch I would make, right? I think the pitch that I would make is that, and I wouldn't care in what context this happened, but I'd like to see an old returning like Star Wars in either Rian Johnson's trilogy or Taika Waititi's film or whichever other sort of beloved independent director is making a Star Wars film now. Mm. At some point, I want to see a Boba Fett helmet upside down on someone's end table with a bunch of flowers planted in it. And yeah. I don't care when that is. It could be like a very aged, who knows, Bib Fortuna or something, or other Star Wars name. And they visit him in his retirement home.
Salacious Crumb. I want it to be Salacious Crumb because he'd be like
Salacious Crumb.
He'd be like Joe Pesci
in a wheelchair.
Joe Pesci at the end of The Irishman.
Exactly.
I'm going to the church now.
And he's just got a little Boba Fett helmet with
amazing
flowers in it. I'd like that.
And the narration says he always did like to laugh.
And then he says, no, I'm not. And that's
it comes together. It's poetry. It rhymes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like George Lucas always says.
Yeah, he works in rhyming couplets. That's right. Yes, he does. He does. Yeah.
George Lucas coughs with mucus. See, it works.
He's a poet, but he wasn't aware of it.
Oh, he had no idea.
No.
But we need to talk about Kylo Ren. I really like the character of Kylo Ren, to be serious for a moment. I think that's quite an interesting character they've brought up there because he's effectively a fanboy. He's like, you know, wearing Ramones t-shirts and stuff, but with helmets.
But he's never heard a Ramones album.
No.
He loves Darth Vader, but he's never met him.
No.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting thing. And also we get to see his powers straight away, which I think is really cool. The bit where Poe shoots at him and he stops the blast halfway.
Yes.
Very cool.
I think that's very cool. And also that brings up a wider point I've got here, that one thing that I think J.J. Abrams just fundamentally does get as a filmmaker and a sort of, you know, a contributor to a big canon like this.
Yeah.
He gets what is cool to see.
Yeah.
Particularly when you're freed from just having like a limited run, like, you know, the three films of Star Wars. Mm. When you've got more time, he interrogates the little corners of that world. And the examples that I had were a tethered TIE fighter trying to break away from the wall. Like, what just that sort of the physical reality of watching, that's really cool. Same thing with the force, you know, a force stopping the laser.
Yeah.
Looks really nice. And a really beautiful image that I love, which reminded me of those John Harris mass paintings, is Rey, a lone, tiny scavenger, just fishing about in the bowels of a downed Star Destroyer. Like, all that stuff is just like, yes, this is the sort of the opportunity you get with extending a franchise like this, or doing sequel after sequel, is you get to just poke about in these little extra parts of the universe you hadn't considered. Yeah. That's so nice to see. But anyway, yes, correct. The laser bolt is extremely cool.
Yeah, and I love the fact that... I love his mask. I mean, you could have really fucked that up. I mean, if you thought, we need to make a new mask and make it look nothing like Darth Vader, but also conjure up Darth Vader.
Yeah, immediately make it seem like Darth Vader. And yeah. a bit of Boba Fett as well. Yeah. yeah. And it's like, I think there's such another thing which is done so well, and I sort of have a weird affection for it, because a comic artist called Glyn Dillon, who is brilliant, and he did a load of work for like 2000 AD and things early on, and then he sort of disappeared into film concept world. Mm-hmm. And around the time Force Awakens came out, it was announced that he was a designer on it, which was quite cool. Like, oh, cool. Like real comics, you know, British comics talent getting to go and work with the big boys on the big films.
Yeah.
So that was exciting. But he also released a great graphic novel called The Now of Brown, which was, you know, a big sort of mainstream hit, won awards and stuff. Mm. And so sort of for a very short time, it was like he was everywhere, and his work is gorgeous. And I don't know if he's the brain behind Kylo Ren, but he is the brain behind the putting the extra lines on the Stormtrooper helmets to make them just look that little bit different.
Like
which
been,
is a,
like
a very simple
Apple.
But very good tweak. Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah, the Apple Mac Stormtroopers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. I like that.
Mm.
I think what's funny about this film, which we will get into as we go into it more, is that, as you mentioned, that JJ is very good about... I call him JJ because I know him quite well.
Because you're good friends, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's very good at setting up a stall and saying, right, this is what we got now, like he did with the first Star Trek film that he rebooted.
Yes.
With the idea of, we're in a different dimension, we can do what we like. And in this one, it's basically, we've got all these little traps and plots and all sorts of things. Won't it be fun to investigate them further? No. That's the answer.
No, but this is it. I've thought this for a while, actually, but... Mm. He's not great at endings.
No.
Is JJ. Like I Cloverfield sort of gets away with it because it's, you know, it's the only ending that you can really conceivably do, but it's not particularly new or exciting.
No.
And I loved Super 8, except that in the last kind of 20 minutes it just goes, "Oh yeah, we need to end this film at some point. I guess this is the ending." And then it ends. Yeah, and I think that's just as a writer or a sort of story crafts person, I think that's his weakness, from what I've seen anyway.
So he was possibly the worst person to bring in to finish a trilogy.
Yeah, I mean, possibly. Mm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of rumours. I mean, with these sorts of massive projects, you hear so many rumours flying about, but I had heard that, like, Rian Johnson was going to be doing the second and third.
Mm.
And then there was, I think, some speculation that he'd been booted because there was a mixed reaction to Last Jedi. So then they got JJ back in a panic. But I don't know what if any of that is true.
No, it was going to be Colin Trevorrow who did Jurassic World.
Okay.
He was doing Episode 9, and his script... magically, mysteriously leaked just as Rise of Skywalker came out.
Right.
And his script was called Jura of the Fates. And although it was still a bit shit, it was much better.
Right,
than
okay.
what eventually transpired to come out. Mm. Yeah, it's a
I'll
shame.
Say one thing about, just to go back to Kylo Ren's mask, I think my one complaint is that the effect that's on it is just a little too extreme. Like, it is... Just through a sort of, you know, I've a reasonable home entertainment setup, John, as you know.
Mm.
But I was finding it occasionally a little tricky to hear him. And I think, what it made me think as well is that famously Darth Vader, a different man doing the voice than is in the suit.
Yeah.
And, you know, in that you had James Earl Jones enunciating absolutely everything. What? Mm.
Mm.
You know, and in this, you've got mumbly Adam Driver being very good. He's a good actor and a good character.
He's great.
But, you know, combine mumbling with... Like, it's just it's a little too much going on, and I think they could have just, you know, in Logic Pro they could have just brought the slider down a little bit on that effect, you know,
or maybe made it higher,
yeah, or just so you look like like that. That would also be
put some phaser on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love it
like the beginning of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, I want it to sound exactly
he talks
like that.
Just like that all the time.
In the stereo, left to right.
Oh, that'd be beautiful.
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
Imagine that in 5.6.
Can you
put some of that on all of this conversation?
I will not.
Oh, okay.
Because your voice is a thing of beauty, Tom.
Thank you very much. I've worked very hard on it.
Defile it. So this is another thing. We'll talk about Kylo Ren now.
Yes.
Ultimately, spoiler alert, anyone who hasn't seen the entire trilogy, Kylo is redeemed at the end. Through a parting of bullshit curtains He's redeemed. Now, at the beginning of this film...
I mean, as I say, I haven't seen Rose Skywalker. He opens some curtains.
Oh, no. I'm just using that as a metaphor.
Oh, okay, fine.
He goes through a process which is just total bullshit.
He doesn't even part some real curtains.
He doesn't.
That's outrageous. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Just some beef ones. Now...
If only.
If only.
Chance would be a fine thing.
Wouldn't it? Mm. And he didn't even... I know. Now, he starts this film as the centre of evil. He's basically Darth Vader in A New Hope. He isn't the top brass, but he's someone to be feared.
Mm.
The first thing he does is commit genocide.
Yeah, pretty good for a start, yeah.
Yeah, and then later on in the film, spoiler alert, we will get there, he murders his own father.
Yeah, really bad that, yeah.
And also, really. What stands and watches is the people he works for blows up an entire planet, or three planets, I think it is.
Yeah, because they had to raise the stakes, and they blew up one whole planet. They blew up Alderaan in A New Hope, and then in this, they had to go like, no, we're doing everything completely differently. Mm. We've blown up three planets.
Yeah.
It's a different film. It's different. It's a different film, guys. What are you talking about?
And our Death Star's a bit bigger as well.
Yeah, it's a planet as well. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. We'll get to that.
Yeah, anyway, so it just bothers me the idea that this character could have any form of redemption, and well, I suppose you could. You'd have to set it up, but not do it in the very last minute of a film.
Yes, I think, well, you've got to be careful with that sort of thing. And I think that with, with it following so closely all these beats, like when it does just put a little twist on things, it does it very well. Like, as you say, having incel Reddit Darth Vader as your main baddie creates an inherently different sort of power dynamic. And having him not be the person who very calmly chokes his first officer to death, instead of that, he's the guy who throws a tantrum and lightsabers his own MacBook to bits, you know, because he's so upset.
Which is a great choice. Failure. Great choice, I think.
It's a good choice. Yeah, it's a strong choice, and I think I like that idea. But the trouble is, then you've got to consider that this is a very different character who needs a different sort of redemptive arc.
Mm.
And with Darth Vader, it's sold perfectly in Return of the Jedi. Like it's great, and you know, and the only thing they could do to ruin it is if he actually failed to kill Emperor Palpatine. But when we ignore that, that's a different film.
And also, if he shouts no as he throws him over the balcony,
no, do not want.
Because I don't know about you, but that moment of perfect pitch drama where Vader looks at Luke, looks at the Emperor, and then silently decides to kill the Emperor.
Mm.
I always thought all my life is just missing someone saying no.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Ideally just sort of loud enough to drown out the John Williams stirring music going on behind it.
Mm.
No! No, just no, screamed over that is what that's what I want to see from a film.
I imagine James L. Jones must look at his phone sometimes when it rings and he pick it up and just go, you want me to say no again, yeah?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Now, I imagine there's a bit of that. I also imagine that every time he does pick up his phone, he says, what? I imagine that's always something. Now, I'm going to give credit here because I'm sort of stealing a bit to some degree because in the Peter Serafinowicz show, there's the sketch where Darth Vader meets what is effectively just a lady Darth Vader and fancies her. And it's very funny. But the key thing that his James Earl Jones impression gets right is, what?
Yeah.
And just every time you hear it, it's just so correct. It is. So funny.
It's stunning. That was a great series. It's a shame they never... Well, that's another podcast worth of chat about Peter Serafinowicz series.
Can we do the deep dive? Do you think Great Big Owl's got space for like a deep dive Peter Serafinowicz show and possibly It's Kevin rewatching podcast?
I think, yeah.
I think so. And I think we could probably also get the real Kevin Eldon to host it. So
probably. Do you think he'd want to? Do you think that'd be too painful?
I think he'd probably find it strange and not want to do it. Yeah. That's my genuine prediction.
Hmm. I get that a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Now, John, this is strange. I don't want to do it.
Okay, Tom, no worries. I'll see you later.
See ya.
What? Finn. Let's talk about Finn. So FN2187. Now, the idea here is rather than the stormtroopers being clones, which I've never liked as an idea anyway.
No.
They're now children that are stolen from birth and raised to be stormtroopers, which is more believable, I think.
It's nice. It's also very like the judges in Judge Dredd is a similar thing. You have to be so indoctrinated into the system of justice that you have to be recruited as a child and become a cadet. And I sort of and it immediately works, I think, that idea.
Do you think Judge Judy used to be one of them?
Well, famously, she escaped the... She took the long walk out into the cursed earth.
I was going to say, the cursed earth,
And it turns out that all this talk about, like, you know, there's only two megacities left, and then there's Tex-Mex City down below, and it's all nonsense. She just walked out, and she found L.A. was just there.
Yeah.
And she went, oh, I'm starting my own TV show where I'm a judge.
Hmm.
And then that's the secret twist behind all of Judge Dredd.
Hey, you know who else walked the cursed earth, which brings us back to this?
Yep.
Max von Sydow.
Yes, that's yes. Of course, he did. He was Chief Justice
Marion.
Marion, yes, that's right. Because he didn't die. He was actually made immortal by the devil.
That's right.
And then he spent 50 odd years serving as the Chief Justice of the Justice Department in Megacity One.
That's right.
And then when he took the walk into the cursed earth, he found an old spaceship. And then he travelled back in time to a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he ended up at the start of The Force Awakens.
Which is more believable than the spaceship they find in Rise of the Skywalker, which makes no sense. But
we won't talk about that now. I haven't seen it, John, so don't spoil it for me.
Sorry, Tom.
I'm watching it tonight. I'm so excited. I've heard only great things. I cannot wait to see this epic trilogy concluded faultlessly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're in for a treat.
Excellent. Thank you.
Can't face those Twitter notifications? Forgot to watch anything but Netflix? Dreading the video conference small talk at 9? You need a news vitamin, you know. You need the Smart 7. It's a brand new daily podcast that puts your brain into gear. Everything you need to know in less than 7 minutes. You need the smarts? Hey, we got the smarts. The Smart 7, every weekday at 7 a.m. Available right now on Spotify and all the usual places.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, Poe and Finn become best friends.
They do.
But they're not gay, everyone, all right?
All right. Well, they might be.
Well, you watch episode 9, you'll see they're not, okay?
Well, do they both sort of... I like to imagine that, just to clear everything up for like Middle America, for the Bible Belt, there's a scene where they both go into just a space bar and then each of them separately walks off to a different woman and then like tongue kisses them like passionately for ages. Mm. And the camera just sort of lingers on it, swapping between them, going, look at this. Look, don't misinterpret this.
I mean, that basically happens.
Oh, right. Okay.
Sort of. Poe.
Oh, I've ruined it for myself now.
A lady appears in episode 9 who Poe used to be in a relationship with. And at the end, they kiss with tongues, I think.
But it's an entirely different star system millennia ago. Why are they prescribed to sexual roles?
Well, exactly. I mean, the Greeks...
They're probably all pansexual. I mean, all those aliens as well.
Yeah, the Greeks used to, wash each other's bits and laugh.
Are you telling me that no character in A New Hope... None of them... Are you telling me that none of them really wanted to kiss Max Rebo?
I did.
Yeah, I went on the end of his long trunk. Lovely.
Hang on,
you're telling me nobody got it on off camera with Max Rebo?
Max Rebo's in Jedi, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, is he in Max... Oh, you've out-nerded me. Who heads up the Mos Eisley Cantina Band? Oh my gosh, no, I think he is. He's in Return of the Jedi, you're quite right. Yeah. Mos Eisley Cantina Band.
They're called something like Fun Fun and the Fun Funs, I think.
The Fun Fun and the Jolly Boys, Figrin Dan and the Modal Nodes.
There you go, see, it just rolls off the tongue.
There you go. And there's two of them have those sort of grey alien, the sort of slightly phallic heads with big black eyes in them.
Which are their genitals.
Yeah, they're playing the pipes with their... With their penises.
The pipes of peace.
They contract their diaphragms in such a way and then release the oxygen to fire out of their head urethras into their clarinets.
Beautiful.
And that's what gives us the beautiful music we've come to love.
Anyway, Poe and Finn are best friends.
Okay, they're platonic best friends.
Yeah, so...
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it funny that when Finn is with his stormtrooper battalion...
Yes.
Racing around this town in Jakku. His stormtrooper buddy is murdered by Poe. And then the blood's wiped on his mask.
Yeah, I suppose that is an odd thing. I guess they're kind of trying to create the impression of, you know, these people who are star-crossed platonic friends. Throughout this war, they keep sort of bumping into each other, and there's a sort of a connection that binds them, but it's almost an invisible one to each of them.
Also,
like, I don't know. It's not. I wonder. Like, it is an odd choice, but I suppose it seems intentional to me. You sort of would assume that Finn would not necessarily know it was him that had done it, or but I suppose he would, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
That is a strange choice. Anyway, sorry, yes, you're right, it is strange. That's my,
also, that
my conclusion.
Finn is very upset by death. Okay.
Yeah.
He has PTSD, as we call it these days, but in those days, obviously, it didn't exist.
No, back then, no.
It was a long time ago.
It was just called Pull Yourself Together a long time ago.
Yeah, it was.
Get back to working the butchers.
That's right.
War's over.
Yeah.
Space war's over.
Yeah. Baby killer.
That's the sort of thing.
Yeah.
Spitting on the stormtroopers as they come back home.
That's right.
In a motorcade through the capital city of Corellia.
Yeah.
Boo. You weren't there, man.
You killed Han Solo.
Yeah, that was bad. He was pretty cool. Sorry, guys. Yeah. Boo.
Well, not you directly, but the people you work for. Boo.
No, I understand what you're saying. Boo me. Yeah, it'd be like that.
That's exactly it. So, yeah, well, Finn's upset by it. But again, this is a bit of JJ, isn't it? That he's got the blood in his mask, so we know which one he is.
Yeah, really nice visual signalling there. Really good. Yeah.
So, yeah, they wipe out the entire village and they take Poe away with them. But meanwhile, Poe is with cute little toy BB-8 robot.
Yeah, adorable little toy. Yeah.
Yeah, who I think is voiced a combination of Ben Schwartzman and Bill Hader, I believe.
I think it's Ben Schwartz is involved. I don't, but the thing is, they seem.
Sorry, Schwartz, yeah.
Yeah, they seem to have got... you're thinking of Jason Schwartzman, who I think was also a voice of BB-8. Every American comedian, every man American comedian was at some point.
Mm.
But they keep talking about how they... Like, it seems to me that every time I hear one of them talk about this, each of them says, yeah, but they never used it in the end.
Yeah.
And so you go, what is it then?
Yeah.
It's a synthesizer. They got in all of these A-list celebrities to come in and just do like, we-de-wah. And then they went, yep, great, there's your 10 grand. Off you go. Mm-hmm. Now we're not using that.
Yeah, it's fucking terrible.
Money to burn, JJ. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
It's probably they're just being polite. Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Bill. Bye.
Really good, yeah.
It's fucking terrible. We can't use that.
Bloody Bill Hader. Well, Bill Hader just came in and did like a tight 10 about marriage. So it was like, oh, we can't use that.
Was it like his tight 10 he does in It Chapter 2, where nobody laughs?
Yes, I think so. I think it is. It's very much identical. Hey, guys, just wanted to tell you, married life is kind of crazy in some ways. Yeah, it's great. Thanks, Bill. That's
cheers,
a wrap.
Bill.
Cheers. We're going to use that for the little robot guy.
Imagine if they did, though.
Yeah.
What's that, BB-8? Oh, okay.
You know when the toothpaste has the cap left off and you think, honey, who did this? You know, like, I'd really like that.
I think what BB-8's saying is... That'd be C-3PO translating him, you see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. He's doing some fairly insipid comedy about married life, General.
Oh, he says he can do the voice of a Tauntaun. Would you like to hear it? No.
No, not really. No.
I've heard it so many fucking times. No.
Really? It's pretty great. You want to hear my Chewbacca?
He's doing Alan Alda now. Who?
Speaking
Alan Alda.
Yeah, Alan Alda. He's going to be born 10 millennia from now in a galaxy far, far away.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't want to hear that. Thanks.
Yeah, no, fine. Thank you. Oh, boy. The speaking of Chewbacca,
yeah.
There's obviously everyone has a, you know, everyone has a Chewbacca impression.
Yeah.
But I wanted to point this out because he does it. Chewbacca's great in this, by the way, and I love him.
Mm-hmm.
And
even though he looks weird, but yeah.
What have you got a complaint?
I have. I think he looks weird in this. He doesn't look like real Chewbacca.
I find him lovable. I think he does look slightly different. I wonder if they've tried to make it look like he's aged, but you can't really put wrinkles on him because he's all hairy. So they've tried to change his shape a bit in some way. But I love him, like how he's used as a character is more amazing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What I love that he does, and he does this in all of his appearances, is when he's sort of particularly moved, he gives you the classic, but if he's just sort of waffling along about something, then he goes... And that's my favourite Chewbacca.
That's Chewbacca starting his car in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame Eddie Large has died. He'd love that.
He'd love it. He'd love that. Some great fodder.
Yeah.
Hey, tell Bill Hader. Bill Hader could use that for the next BB-8.
You've just
or the next whatever robot it is, RD-92 or something. I don't know.
You've just got a job in his writer's room, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Can you do a
Honey,
tom-tom?
I can't get Chewbacca to start this morning. Isn't it crazy when you can't get Chewbacca to start in the morning? Like, it was working fine yesterday. That sort of thing. I think we've pitched our new trilogy.
I think we have. Also, in terms of build type 10, I'd say that's a very loose 15.
Yeah, well, look, one man's type 10 is another man's HBO special. So
it certainly is. Yeah, well, we all need some of those.
But I could use a couple.
I could definitely use an HBO special.
Donald Gleason looks completely lost in this film. That's a note I've written down.
Well, he looks lost in all three, sadly, because he is brilliant. But
I love him. I think he's so good. I love him in Ex Machina. He's brilliant in that. Carries the whole movie. Amazing. I love him in... oh, gosh, the other one I love him for. Oh, it's completely left my
head.
Peter Rabbit, he's brilliant. Yeah, he's brilliant. You mean Peter Rabbit where, for no reason, Peter Rabbit is just a dick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he's amazing in that.
Yeah.
But there's... yes, he's great in... so many things. Donald Gleason's brilliant.
Yeah.
But it is like, throughout, every time the camera's on him, it's like they've just not told him what he's supposed to be doing.
He does seem mildly miscast, because he's better than this. I mean, it's not a great part, is it?
It's not. I mean, all it is shouting. Mm. Like, it's just... And then there's a whole Nazi rally scene, which is something they managed to never do in the original trilogy. But
yeah.
It makes sense that you have... If you have this sort of... Well, let's be honest. The First Order is the alt-right.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have your Tiki Torch rally at some point.
Mm.
And so he's up there. But he's that bit he's perfectly good in. But there's just a sort of... I don't know if this was a choice that was made at some point. But there's a sort of look of total uncertainty in his eyes at all times.
Mm.
Which isn't sort of what you consider Peter Cushing as Grand Moff Tarkin.
Mm.
You know, in A New Hope. He's totally steely cool throughout.
Yeah.
And he's got this sort of... You know, stern British fascist sort of look about him, and that works really well. And in this, Donald Gleason just looks very, very young and slightly confused.
Well, this is what they tried to fix in Episode 9 because they brought in Richard E. Grant as his superior.
Oh, okay.
Which works better as a dynamic.
I can see him doing it very well.
Yeah, yeah. He's great.
Is he in full Withnail mode? Is he like, no, come on holiday by mistake?
No, he isn't. No.
Okay.
No,
yeah. But it's a shame that we haven't got. Uncle Monty. It's a shame we haven't got
Richard Griffiths
to play an Imperial officer. I'd like that.
Yeah. Hux, you terrible cunt.
Grand Emperor Snoke, total cunt. Yeah.
We could have called this film With Droid and I.
Yes, that would have been good. Yeah.
Anyway, so we meet Rey now. She's scavenging. Rey. As you mentioned earlier, she's scavenging inside a decrepit old Star Destroyer that's crashed into the Jakusian desert. That's how it's called.
What a metaphor. Exploring for scraps within a giant deceased old husk.
Oh, what a metaphor.
And I don't actually have that opinion about this film, but if I did, that's a brilliant sort of, again, Mark Kermode style put down I could have used to describe it.
Oh, Kermode would love that. He'd be frothing in his
bloody
pants.
Bloody love it.
His hair would go all flat. I don't know why.
It's like, I imagine it being like Asterix's wings on his helmet.
Mm.
If he's a bit aroused or even sad, they just sort of flop down.
I reckon if you untangle all that hair, I reckon there's a little mouse in there that knows lots about films.
That's working the controls.
Like Ratatouille.
Yeah, yeah. That's why he thought a hat would be too... He thought a chef's toque would be too obvious, so he just got a big quiff.
I reckon it's getting bigger and bigger because the mouse is getting older.
Yeah.
Getting bigger.
Yeah.
What's he going to do when that mouse dies?
Well, I think he's going to have to just lean heavily on mayo. More.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think but that's all right. Or at least the rat that lives in Simon Mayo's hair.
Yeah.
And did you also know that if you pull Mark Cohen's left nipple, his eyebrows fall off?
That's another
fact people don't know about him.
I had no idea.
Keeps live crabs in his pants. That's another one.
Wow, Jesus Christ.
There's all sorts of things people don't know about.
It's all going to come out when he goes. It's all going to come out, isn't it?
I know. Yeah. Kermode in crab pant scandal. It's going to be, yeah.
God, dear.
Talk of the town.
I don't want to dwell on that anymore. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
But this contains the shot that was used heavily in the trailer, which I think is a great shot of her on her speeder going away and going through the desert. And you see the Star Destroyers all just...
The scale of it, yeah, lovely.
Beautiful.
Mm.
And the little details he puts in here, like when she goes past and there's like an animatronic little buzzard thing biting into metal. Little things like that that were missing from the prequels and stuff like that. Just
bits of world building. I made some notes about the aesthetic of Star Wars, because it is a sort of, there is a quite a tight, the aesthetic of Star Wars is a fairly tight Overton window, which is a phrase I like to use more often than I understand it.
Right.
And I think that the parameters of the Star Wars aesthetic, what you need is very, very dirty planets and very, very clean, shiny corridors.
Yeah.
Those are the two things you need if you want to have a sort of rounded feel of Star Wars.
But did you notice that Rey is very on brand for 2020?
Tell me more.
Well, she makes her own bread.
Of course she does. Well, she hang on. She doesn't make her own bread.
No, she sort of does.
She sort. It's like she's, listen, it's like she's bought ready, you know, instant Morrison's pizza-based dough, you know, and she's just flung it on a tray and gone, look, I made my own pizza. Like, you didn't make your own pizza.
Right, don't have a go at her. That's I'm having she's a go got.
At you, John, and your homemade pizzas that you're putting on Instagram all time of the day and night.
I'm sorry, I'm just trying to top myself.
Please don't top yourself. I know things are tough at the moment. What are the podcast listeners going to do?
Oh, they'll find someone else.
Yeah, probably. Paul F. Tompkins or someone.
Yeah, Paul F. Tompkins.
I love him. And you.
Oh, thanks, Tom.
You're welcome, John.
That's very nice of you.
That's all right.
Do you like that she lives in an attic?
Yes, I like that. Do you know, I actually didn't take in that she lives inside it. I took in that she shelters in its underbelly at one point.
Yeah.
But yes, I love it. All these little things, And this sort of idea that you're seeing the aftermath of, you know, the greater war between the rebels and the empire. All that stuff's great.
And it was never really...
It is a bit undercut by the fact that another empire, basically identical, started immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
Nothing ever actually changed.
It's like when Gateway went and they became Summerfield.
I know, exactly. Well, it's like when the post office changed their name to Consignia and then back again.
And Spastic Society and Scope.
Yeah, exactly. Indeed.
Yeah. They've rebranded it, you fool.
You've rebranded the Empire as the first store, and now everyone's going, what, so is it like a democracy? And they go, no, it's an empire. It's like, well, why don't you just call it the Empire then?
And why, in that case, why did the rebellion rebrand themselves as the Resistance?
Yeah, quite. I mean, they're still a rebellion, and they're a resistance. I guess because they thought, well, listen, if they're like having a brand switch, then so are we. We're not going to be the same old fusty rebellion.
I imagine Leia coming down the stairs and saying, look, the eggheads in marketing have put their heads together and decided we're now going to be the Resistance.
Yeah, I'm picturing it quite Devil Wears Prada. Mm. Like, I think she's coming and saying, look what those bitches at the Empire have done. Mm. We're changing everything. This isn't my Carrie Fisher. This is a generic sort
generic.
Of fashion editor
I
type.
I took it to be that.
Yeah. On that topic, Carrie Fisher, amazing in this film. Mm. Her and Harrison Ford, I loved both of them. I loved seeing them act together. I loved seeing them independently doing their thing. I really liked where those characters had like ended up, and I believed it.
He has energy that he hasn't had for a long time in this, which is nice.
A lot more than in Indiana Jones 4, I'll tell you that
fucking
much.
Too right, yeah. But I don't want to sound like Dr. Reddit, but I don't like what they've done with Han Solo in this.
Dr. Reddit, is that you? No, do tell me, because I was sold, but if you were not, I'd like to hear about it and then debate you.
I don't like that he's gone back to being a smuggler. I liked it in Jedi that he's become General Solo, hasn't he?
He has, but I sort of like the explanation he gives, which is that he went back to the only thing he was ever good at. Like, he sort of tried to be a great leader and a dad and failed and went, right, well. I guess I sort of like the idea that he develops over those films, but you get the impression that this is the same guy that we knew then, but just things haven't gone right for him. And he's fallen back, you know, into the gutter. And I quite like that. Like, maybe it's not the most auspicious place to find him again, but... Yeah, I don't know. I sort of... Something about him being the perennial chancer and he can't quite get away from that, I quite enjoyed.
But I like what I like about Return of the Jedi, though, is that he kind of, towards the end, embraces the fact that he wants to fight with the rebellion.
Yeah.
And in the intervening years for him to be like, no, I'm just going to go back to being a...
Well, because the brand management worked on him. He went, well, the Empire's fallen. There's just these First Order guys. They're probably, I don't know, like a sort of constitutional monarchy or something. I'm just going to bugger off and have a load of fun. And Leia's going, no, it's basically the Empire. And he goes, like, look, if it was the Empire, they'd call it the Empire. Mm. And then he just buggered off, and by then it was too late.
Do you think it was like when everybody was going, well, Trump's not going
to
win?
No, exactly.
We don't have to worry about
I don't want to vote for Hillary / Biden. And Trump's never going to win, so I just won't bother.
Yeah.
We're
not worried about the First Order. They won't do anything.
Ah, they're just like, they're ludicrous. This Adolf Hitler's just a comical little clown. Mm. No one need worry about him. He's just this amusing little silly man with his little moustache. Mm. It's that sort of... Han Solo is the Chamberlain of the galaxy a long time ago, far, far away.
He is, unfortunately, in this. Yeah.
Yes. This means peace in our galaxy far, far away.
So, she... Yeah, after she makes her bread, instant bread. She rescues BB-8, who's being captured by some weird little robot monster.
He's a Jawa with a robot face. I'm still not sure whether he was a Jawa wearing a prosthetic or whether he's a different alien.
Jawa with a robot face sounds like a line out of a Paul Simon song.
It actually does. Yeah. I was going to say a Billy Idol, but I think you're nearer the mark.
It could be a line in Call Me Out.
Jawa with a little robot face at the cinematographer's party.
Coming down the alley.
Jabba the Hutt was hugging all the dip, and there was a Jawa with a robot face. Mm. Yeah, I like that.
That's good. And Paul Simon was married to Princess Leia.
That is true as well. Yeah. Gosh, yeah.
It all works together. So in the morning, she takes BB-8 with her. And in the meantime, Finn rescues Poe because he wants to get away.
That's right. Yes, he does. Finn is interesting as well. I feel like they could have got more out of that, out of his... Well, what he is.
Yeah, he's backstory.
I would have, and again, I'm going to guess this isn't done from based on what I've heard about Rise of Skywalker.
Absolutely not. No, he's barely in it.
You would, indeed, you would think that a huge part of the downfall of the First Order would be him deprogramming stormtroopers.
Mm.
Because he's living proof that you can not only turn away from the dark side, but you can be a great hero of the Resistance.
Mm.
And you sort of feel like there's a natural endpoint to that. Especially as they've set up this idea that, you know, obviously stormtroopers seem to sort of come from anywhere, but as far as we're aware, under the First Order, they're, like you say, they're programmed from childhood.
Yeah.
And him as a sort of, you know, like the Phelps family's children, the Westboro Baptist Church kids who go away and then devote all of their lives to deprogramming cult members.
Mm-hmm.
He could have been like the Dakota Phelps, I can't remember her real name, of the First Order. She could have gone around doing TED. He could have gone around doing TED talks about, you know, well, you might think the Empire is all you've got. You know, you love the Empire, you love your fellow stormtroopers, and you want to do right for them. But you've got to realize at the end of the day, they don't always want what's best for you.
Mm.
I think that would have made a lovely sequence. But apparently, no.
Apparently, it's better in the next episode 9 if he just stands around watching Rey do things, shouting Rey.
Well, that's, you know, John Boyega, right, is a fantastic young actor, and they want to use him to the maximum ability.
Mm-hmm. He's very good at shouting.
Ray. Yeah. He is good at shouting, to be fair. He's got a good shouting face.
Yeah, he's great.
His face does good things. He is brilliant. Mm. I love him.
Mm. He got a lot of slack for this, didn't he, when he got there by racists?
Yeah, all the racists just can't. I do sort of feel like there is... The problem, the thing is, the internet's great, right? Because it's got a democratizing effect and it gives everybody an equal opportunity to express themselves.
Yeah.
But you do spend a lot of time just doing the housekeeping of distancing a conversation from the idiots, right?
Yeah.
Like, you sort of feel like, you know, there should be a form you fill in, or like a little, you know, the blue tick on Twitter. Like, maybe just a little poo emoji or something, so that, like, you know, if you've got the poo emoji, it's like, okay, I won't listen to anything you have to say. And on, you know, Reddit and everything else, and you know, Yahoo Answers, whatever. And so that you can have conversations like, oh, I don't like the last two seasons of Doctor Who. And somebody else will go, I agree with you, mate. It's terrible that there's a woman in the leading role. And you can go, no. It's like you just don't want to have to do all that housekeeping. And so in the same way, if you've got any concerns about any product which features any sort of inclusive anything, you don't want to immediately have to be thrown in with the, with the worst people in the universe.
Yes, that would be
all of whom are Doctor Who fans.
Yeah. All of them?
Yeah, all of them are, yeah. And, you know, they're the ones you have to avoid if you want to ever enjoy any Doctor Who.
That's a shame.
Which is why I'm lobbying for this poo emoji deal that I was mentioning earlier.
I think it's a good idea. I mean, particularly with the Star Wars people. It became very toxic.
First one, Trump, very first person to get one, will be Donald Trump, the President of the United States of America.
Yeah, with a little blonde wig on it.
Ah, yes. In fact, they could all have a little blonde wig just to really ram the point home.
And that's end of part one of this episode of Smirchpod. We'll be back later in the week with part two, so please stick around. But in the meantime, why not like, subscribe, review, enjoy, share, tell everybody you like. And, you know, why not even buy Thunderbook? Hey, why not? See you next time.
Hello, you. My name's Tom Price.
Hello, I'm Dave Cribb.
You should come and join us. Every day we do a podcast called Cabin Fever, where we talk to loads of comedians who've had to cancel everything else in their lives, so they come on our podcast instead, don't they, Dave?
Yeah, it's an isolation podcast.
Dave, were you yawning at the start of that sentence then? Was it just a little yawn?
Yeah, it's basically the Great Big Owl isolation podcast. We'll have people on from all our podcasts, from your Rule of Threes, your Brian and Rogers, your Musicals, your Bitchins. If you like any of our podcasts, if you like any of those people, chances are they'll be logging onto the Zoom call and just chatting, because let's face it, they got nothing else to do.
Also, there'll be a quiz on the bill. All right, see you soon. Lots of love.
Cabin FE83709. Oh, 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 that's our Twitter name.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.